On April 2nd, the U.S. Supreme Court handed down a 5-4 ruling in the McCutcheon v. Federal Election Commission case, overturning a 40-year limit on aggregate political contributions that a single donor can make to candidates and party political action committees. This decision effectively frees wealthy donors from previous restrictions, now allowing them to contribute to an unlimited number of candidates and party campaign organizations while still being subject to caps on donations to individual candidates. The suit was launched by Alabama businessman Sean McCutcheon and the Republican National Committee, who challenged the current restrictions on political contributions in a single election. With this high court ruling favorable to the GOP, a single donor can now write a $5.9 million check to a fundraising committee controlled by an elected official or party leader. This decision further erodes campaign finance reforms, already gutted in the 2010 Supreme Court ruling in the Citizens United case that opened the floodgates of corporate money in elections. While Chief Justice John Roberts, who wrote the majority opinion, expressed no concern about the corrupting influence of more money in U.S. political campaigns, Justice Stephen Breyer countered that the anti-corruption interest that drives Congress to regulate campaign contributions is a far broader, more important interest than the five-person majority recognizes. Your reporter spoke with Jonah Minkoff-Zern, co-director of Public Citizens Democracy is for People campaign. Here he examines the consequences of the McCutcheon decision and the grassroots movement working to restore and strengthen campaign finance laws by passing a constitutional amendment limiting the role of money in U.S. politics.
You know, this ruling wasn't a surprise because of the court's ruling in Citizens United and its oral arguments, but it still came as a shock just because it's so extreme. It got rid of 40 years of aggregate contribution limits. Before the McCutcheon ruling, the limit was $120,000. So already people could give twice the median income in the United States to supporting candidates that they wanted to see elected. So between the various different ways that one could contribute in a two-year election cycle, or an individual can now give $5.9 million to a candidates and parties and PACs in an election cycle. That's over 100 times the median income in the United States. And it really is just a preposterous amount of money and an extremely small group of people who could even consider giving that amount of money. There were only 1,200 individuals who gave up to the aggregate limit in 2012.
What are the possibilities that this ruling by the Supreme Court can open up the door to virtual blackmail by very wealthy donors and millionaires and billionaires to political parties themselves? In other words, having this much money at their disposal to donate to a political action committee or a slew of candidates gives these individuals enormous power to pressure the parties to do their bidding, do they not?
These individuals already had, because of Citizens United, an extraordinary amount of power. And one example to me that just really blows me away is how the New York Times exposed that there was a very small group of wealthy donors who intentionally orchestrated the government shutdown. They wanted to advance their political ideology, and they got together and basically threatened Republicans who didn't go along with the shutdown to primary them and to spend a tremendous amount of money through independent expenditures at that point in the primaries against them. And now these individuals don't really have to pretend to be working outside of the parties. They really can buy and sell the parties, and they have between them so much money. The parties can't possibly ignore them and can't possibly ignore what their political agenda was. And it was kind of like people performing before Sheldon Adelson recently. And I'm sure a lot of listeners heard about this, that he got that Sheldon Adelson is the mega donor from Las Vegas, a casino owner. And he basically had the Republican candidates come down and do a horse and pony show in front of him to try to decide who is going to get his money. It just makes you realize how much power these small group of people have, because the candidates have to listen to them. They have to set their political agenda based on their ideology. And it's why Congress isn't functioning, but also really it comes down to state and local politics. And more and more I'm meeting people as I work in state legislatures to get support for a constitutional amendment who are getting primaried and who are getting defeated in the general election through a huge amount of money coming into state and local races, even down to the city council.
As we've been talking about, Jonah, there is a public perception out there that our political system is broken and corrupt and that money calls the shots and that the average person in the electorate has very little power to change things for the better. That's a dangerous thing for people to believe around the country. And I'm wondering if you think that this McCutcheon versus FEC decision on top of this earlier Citizens United decision in 2010 could be a catalyst for more outrage and more concerted action on the part of average people around the country to change that system.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be, Scott. It has to be a call to action. And it was really exciting that we were able to, you know, we started organizing this with public citizens, started talking to people about the idea of having an action on the day of the ruling. And it seemed really out of reach, the idea of planning actions around the country when the ruling happened. And it happened in a big way because people in this country really are outraged. There were over 150 actions where people took the street just within hours of the ruling. Thousands of people around the country took the street in protest. And it shows, you know, there's this growing movement calling for a constitutional amendment. There are 16 states, including Connecticut, that have called for a constitutional amendment. New York is one of the next states that we're looking at, and people are going to Albany on April 28th there. That's nyfordemocracy.org for people in New York. But people are organizing around the country, working to get their state support, working to get their local city councils and town councils to call for a constitutional amendment. Over 550 cities and towns have done that now. There are now 150 members of Congress who have co-sponsored an amendment. So people are, this outrage is really starting to transform into action. We can't sit there and watch it. We can't sit there and be angry. We have to take the streets. We have to, over April recess, people are going to be meeting with their Congress, members of Congress. I encourage people listening to this to set up meetings with your members of Congress. And you can find out about that at our website, democracyisforpeople.org. This is an exciting time to build movement, that things sometimes have to get so bad before they get better. And I think this is a case where people across political lines are outraged and are doing something about it.
That was Jonah Minkoff-Zern, co-director of Public Citizens Democracy is for People campaign. For more analysis on the consequences of the McCutcheon ruling and information on the movement to limit the role of money in U.S. politics, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.